You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
Hello?
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party gonna hell? Out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill, and TJ is hosting the show tonight. Jimmy, I know you just got on, so can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, TJ, you got it, my friend.
All righty. Hey, folks, another exciting week of the Bigfoot Live radio show. Speaking of shows, we're going to take you all across the U.S. this week with encounters and sightings of the creature that just happened recently. We had Audrey from last week that was on. She had an encounter right after we had the show. So we couldn't get her back on, but we brought her back this week. We're going to start the show off with our buddy down in Texas. His name is Jimmy, and he had an encounter just this weekend. Jimmy, you with us?
Yes, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. Just enjoying the night.
Hey, you know, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful, beautiful life. You know, Jimmy got indoctrinated into the Bigfoot world here. I think it was Saturday or was it Sunday, Jimmy? No, it was your coming back from work on Thursday.
Yeah, I believe it was, what day was that? Was it Wednesday?
Wednesday, okay, it was Wednesday. You're right.
Yeah.
It was Wednesday. You know, Jimmy gave me a call. We had a long conversation, and I asked him on the show if he'd come on and, you know, share the encounter with you guys this evening. Jimmy, if you'd go ahead and just kind of take us up to how it started, you were getting off of work, and kind of share with my audience, you know, the encounter you had.
Yes, sir. Well, what happened was I was driving home from work, and it was fairly early. I went out there to my office. I'm always out there early, about 5:30, 6 o'clock. I was heading back into one of my hometowns, and it was about seven in the morning, and I'm going down this road here, and I see this creature run across this road, and it runs across the road. I pull over my pickup real quick. I hop out of the truck to see what it is, and the creature is standing there over into the wooded area looking at me. Then it lets out this big, gigantic scream, like an ape-type deal, and then it starts shaking the trees. And this lasted for about, I'd say a good two or three minutes, and then I hop back in my pickup, and one of those 18-wheeler semi-trucks came flying by, and I guess it scared the creature off, but it took off running, and, man, it was hitting those trees. The thing was gigantic. It was moving the trees out of its way.
Wow. Now, have you ever believed in Bigfoot before this, Jimmy?
No, sir. I've never been a believer, but I guess it takes seeing something to believe something.
I know the feeling well. I mean, my first sighting in 2006. If you ever have, and I say this, you know, like this, if you ever have an opportunity to see this creature, it's going to stick in the back of your mind for the rest of your life, because I'm sure it's going to stick with you.
Yes, sir. That's I go home, and all I've been doing is Googling and YouTubing and Googling all about this creature, and seeing what I can learn on it. And, man, it's just been in my mind ever since.
Well, when you were looking at the creature, could you describe him to our audience a little bit? Did you have enough time to kind of get some of the details of it?
He was about seven three, seven five, somewhere in that area. Big creature. And it had a way. It had a way every bit of 700 pounds. It had this long kind of like dark cherry fur. It's not quite brown, but like a brownish color, and with a splotch of gray through it.
And splotch of gray.
Yes, sir.
Wow, where was the gray? It's like the first time I've ever heard that. Where was the gray at? I'm thinking maybe it was an older creature.
It was down towards. It's like, oh man, like on the. Towards its neck area, down in that area. Then it went some spots onto its arm. Then it had some little gray areas through its legs.
Okay. Now, you said you've been Googling the creature. What, have you been Googling the area where you live in and seeing if there's been any other sightings?
Yeah, seeing what I can find up about it where I live in, see if there's, like, if anybody else has spotted any, you know, seeing what I can find, what I can dig up and stuff.
So whereabouts in Texas? Can you tell everybody where you're from?
Huh?
Can you tell everybody where you're from in Texas, the area where you saw the creature?
It's
northeast,
right now,
town, you know.
It's a smaller town. I mean, it's close to Denton, Texas, is what I'll say. I mean, it's not too far out of that.
Oh,
I don't want to exactly say the town I live in, but we're pretty
you.
Close to that.
I got you. So you're maybe in the northeast side of Texas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, I see there's lots of sightings up there. I get calls from all that area. Paris, Denton, there's, what is that? Big lake out there. Everybody fishes. Ford Lake? Does that sound right?
Oh, I know what lake you're talking about. Oh, man, if you wouldn't have asked me, I would have been able to tell you.
It starts with an F, I know. I just can't remember. But, you know, there's sightings all around that area. Because you see that area there, between there and Oklahoma, it's a migration route where the creatures are moving back up and moving down through.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want you folks to listen and understand. He had a three-minute encounter. He got to see this creature longer than most people get to see it. And why it was shaking the trees, I'm guessing it was trying to say, leave me alone, you know, don't come follow me, whatever, who knows. You know, we can only guess and speculate about what it's doing. But when you were sitting there staring at the creature, what were you thinking?
I was thinking a million things in one. I was thinking, what could it be? What could I do? And to be honest with you, I mean, I honestly wish I had my gun with me. That's God-hand truth. I wish I had it, and I was scared. I was wondering what it could be, and I was wondering if there's. I honestly wanted to capture it. That way, it hit my mind after about a minute of it. I wanted to capture it, to have proof, you know, that it's actually, this animal is real.
And that you're not crazy?
That I'm not crazy.
Exactly. Well, you're not crazy, buddy. You know, you're amongst friends that have all seen this creature. You know, I've got people on the show that tonight will explain. Make sure you listen in. We'll explain about how the creature migrates and sits and actually stays in the area. Now, one last question, because I know you've worked a hard, long day. Are you going to go out and look for this creature some more?
Yes, sir. That's. I'm planning on. I was planning on going off and throwing a hunting trip. I was going to go up into the mountains somewhere. But hell, if we got creatures like that down here, what's the sense in leaving? I'll try to capture one, you know. I want to capture one alive, but I don't think I'm that good of a hunter, to be honest with you.
I gotcha. Well, you know, we talked a little bit about us coming down and helping you. So, you know, if you're still available and we're in your area, which we're going to be about the first week of November, we're going to get together, hopefully, if the offer's still open, and get out there and try to check it out ourselves.
Yes, sir. I'll be more than willing to. I'll take you out there. I'll show you around my town, and we'll see what we can find together.
Okay. One more question. I'm sorry. So could have it been a guy in a suit playing with you?
If it was, it would have had to been Michael Jordan on steroids. Because, I mean, it was shaking an oak tree back and forth. And there ain't no human being that I know. I mean, I'm big. I'm 6 foot five. I weigh about 325, and I couldn't shake that tree. So I know that creature, it had to be something massive with a lot of power behind it.
Wow. So now, you know, I'm so excited for you because you've actually got to see the creature. And most people will go, people that are looking for this creature every single day, you know, don't get a chance to see the creature. You know, it happens like just like you, it happened to you out of happenstance. You know, just out of the blue, you see something, your eyes, you think they're playing tricks on you, and then you actually fixate on it, and you're going, wait a minute, I'm not seeing something. There's actually something there. Wait a minute, how could that be? This doesn't exist. This is not a big damn monkey. You know, there's no zoos around here, you know. And you're kind of wondering and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to explain this to people without looking like a complete idiot?
That's how I was. So that's exactly how I was.
Okay, we got somebody with the mic on.
Muted.
Still there, Marco. Jimmy, you with us?
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody called in, so, okay. Well, you know, like I said, first week of October, we're going to be out there. We're going to keep staying in touch and contact, and I will let you know, buddy, and if anything else happens, I'd love to have you back on the show if you're going back out. And call me during the weekend when you're off, and I'll show you how to bait the area if you can get on that land. But I'm kind of thinking they might have been migrating, so just so you know.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm hoping I'll migrate back and I can get to see it, you know. They all laughed at me when I saw E.T.
Hey, let them laugh all they want. They have no clue, no idea. And when they see the creature, if they ever get the opportunity to, they'll join the club.
Yes, sir. I completely agree.
Jimmy, I'd like to thank you for coming on and sharing your encounter with us tonight. And just stick with us and listen to the rest of the show. And, Marco, let's take a paper, a little commercial here.
All right. Thank you. And you have a good night, sir.
'67, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Bigfoot Lives, a movie at www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
All right, folks. Now, our next guest, I'll bring you up to speed here. We were on the phone last week talking with Audrey in Kentucky. We asked her to stay on the line because most of her action has been happening between the hours of 10 and 11 o'clock at night until the next morning. Now, Audrey was supposed to stay on the line and let us know what's happening. What happened was she couldn't get back in. She had the creature come up. Now, I'm going to bring Audrey and I'm going to let her explain what happened last week, folks, like I promised. Hey, Audrey, how are you?
TJ, Audrey's line is echoing. It means, Audrey, I got to make sure you're coming over level. I don't know why.
Can you hear me?
Okay, folks. So we're having a little technical difficulties. I do apologize. Sometimes these phones, they get the best of us. Audrey has been having an habituation. The creatures have been living on her property now for probably over a year. They don't migrate. Well, they stay close is what they're saying. They're traveling up the Salt River there in Kentucky back and forth. And, well, Audrey, these creatures are part of her land. So they feel protected by her. She feeds them. She cares for them. When they're hungry, they'll come up to her house and beat on the walls in the middle of the night if there's no food out there. Audrey got a hold of us because, she thought that the beating on the walls, they were starting to get aggressive, and she was really worried about what was going to happen. So we, as a group, once we got the call, told her we'll be there. And that's what we did. We took a team, and we went there, and we stayed there for 4 days. And we had our thermal imagers out, and we baited the areas. And, we didn't get an opportunity to see the creature. We probably, and she does explain it the right way, you guys were new to the area. They were just sitting in the woods. They weren't coming out to where they could be seen, which I can understand. It'd be like a dog, being friends with somebody. That animal would be standoffish for a while. Hey, Audrey.
I'm back.
Okay, we got that fixed. Audrey, I was just explaining a little background about how we met and the creatures, how they're living on your property and you're protecting them and they feel, comfortable with you. Now, I was telling about how we were on the line and you were going to call back in if the creatures came by and you couldn't dial in. So why don't you share with us what happened so everybody can, what we missed last week.
I walked back there where they're mostly they gather, where we put the food. And it was about into the thick wood, part of the wood there, mm-hmm. about 20 feet. It stunk so bad. It would knock you down. And I was like, nah, ain't no skunk. And you could feel something moving over there, and it was making a weird noise. And the smell was moving. And I was like, that's not a skunk. I'd have done been in the house. And it started making this weird noise like it does on that your show. like a weird growling noise. I said, oh, no, he's right there. So I put some peanut butter out, and I could hear him walking in the woods, but he was real lightly. You could hear him breaking branches, you know, when he's walking. And it's been quiet the last couple of days, and I'm thinking they're getting in my garbage can because it's by a tree. I think maybe they're trying to root through the garbage cans and stuff, you know, a couple of days ago. But it's, like I said, it's been quiet the last couple of days. But, TJ, I honestly believe if I had a big cage out there, I'd have uncaught this big bad boy.
Well,
I'm serious.
You know why it's been quiet, don't you?
No.
Well, I mean, I'm not too far north of you, and it's been doing something up here every day, raining like a dog. Are you getting the same rains I'm getting?
No, it rained a little bit, didn't stop, but it could rain 10 miles down the road or 2 miles down the road, won't rain here. It's really weird weather over here.
Well, you know, these creatures, like I've been thinking, they travel up and down that Salt River, you know, and they know that you're a stop where they can go get fed and they can chill out and relax. So maybe they were 10 miles away. You know, these creatures, they move, you know, a lot faster for every one step we're taking. They're taking 3 to 5, you know. It's easy.
Oh,
bam,
yeah.
Bam, bam. So I'm thinking, you know, they're hunkering down because they're not going to move in the rain. They're like all the other animals I know. Who wants to walk in the rain? Nobody.
No, really. No, it's annoying.
You know. Now, tell us about this smell, because this is the first time you've explained to me that you've had a smell.
Smell, I know.
That's what's making me think that they got wet, okay? Because after, you know, a dog that's wet has a really bad aroma. Okay?
Well, it was like a wet dog, and it was like poo-poo and
mm-hmm.
grass all rolled into one, you know? And I was thinking, maybe it's a bear. No, it wasn't no bear. But whatever it was, it would knock you on your feet. I was like, "Woo!" I said, "You need a shower, buddy." Whatever's in there. It started growling. I guess it got mad and insulted or something.
Yeah.
But yep. I'm telling you, TJ, if I had me a big cage, I'd done caught this bad boy.
You know, maybe I'll have to get one built and put it on your property here.
I agree. I believe because they, it's like that one guy was talking about that Sasquatch, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He turned around and he shook, and like chimpanzees do, like, "This is my territory. You're messing with me, right?"
Right, Jimmy's the counter. Go ahead.
Now, what I got, yeah, Jimmy. And it was like, that's what apes do. They stop, they let you know, they hit a tree, they branch, let you know, "This is my territory," or "Don't follow me." Plus,
mm-hmm.
everybody thinks that they can hear, you know, your brain, your mind. I believe it 100%. And he said a key word: get a gun. You know, to get evidence, this thing could have been in his head and heard maybe gun, or he was just thinking maybe, you know, he heard that in his head and felt like he might be aggressive to him, you know what I'm saying? Hearing his thoughts. And I was like, wow. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. I don't know if I believe in it because I've never heard of him talking to me in my brain, you know, but, I can't not mock you. If that's what's happening, then that's what's happening. You know,
yeah, because usually they run. They don't. They run. You never hear them turning around doing that.
Right.
He's making
right.
a stand.
Oh, you're correct,
never. Yeah. They never make a stand. And he's like, "I know what you're thinking." And turn around and says, "Come on, bad boy, I'll get you." But he said, "Gun," and it's aggression. See, to them.
Sure.
And not just
because
they're out there don't mean they're stupid.
You know what Audrey is talking about, folks, is that, you know, she's on the believer side that these are animals, a part of this planet, a part of Mother Nature and Earth. And that somehow they get the feelings, or they pick up the vibes of our anger or you know, our emotions, and they react to that. Is that what you're saying, Audrey?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I just want to make clear.
Better. You put
okay.
it better.
they're not talking to you through your brain, right? You don't hear them
no.
like the mind speak.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry. I've been
crazy?
Reading so
I'm
much
that
about
crazy
that
yet.
Stuff. You know, I've been reading some stuff online about, you know, I'm trying to keep my mind open to everything Bigfoot, and I've been reading about some stuff going on in Oregon, and they talk about mind speaking, and it's like, okay, nah, that's gone way too far for me. But, you know, I can't knock you, buddy, but you enjoy. You know, so nothing's been going on since that night.
No,
you haven't come by to see, you haven't beat on the house.
No, it's like a I just been chilling, I guess, like you said, you know. But I'm telling you, we need that cage now. We need that cage because they keep coming back. I mean, after you guys is out here and all this commotion goes on, they just keep going back to that one spot, checking that tree. I know they're checking it because you can hear them over there, you know. And I'm like, this bad boy is wants to get caught. Even if we just get a picture of this bad boy, just to prove to the whole world they do exist. I mean, how many years has this been going on, you know, where nobody's catching?
Right.
Come on, you know. Let's do this, TJ. Let's be the first.
Let's do it. You got my mind thinking about how we're going to build the cage and get it over there, a heavy enough one to where
it's got
to
be strong, yeah,
because, you know, 700-pound creature, I'm afraid he'll get inside and just bend these bars and he might hurt somebody once we get him in that cage. Well, Audrey, I'd love
it's
to thank
idea.
You again for I'd like to thank you for coming back on again this week. If anything else happens, you got my number, and I definitely want to have you back on next week because we're supposed
okay.
to get a dry spell here. And maybe they'll be popping in on us, okay?
Okay, sweetie.
All right. Audrey, have a great evening. Listen to the rest of the show. Marco, let's take time for some of the Seed Profit break here. We'll come back with A.K. Raleigh from the Apache Nation.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Oh, folks. So
yeah,
I'm going to give you a little intro to A.K. Raleigh. A.K. Raleigh.
A.J.
Yes.
Didn't dial in yet.
Okay.
He didn't dial in yet. We need to go to Kevin.
No problem. All righty. You know, well, folks, you guys remember Kevin from our last show before this? He's up in Pennsylvania. We're going to be seeing them in October. They have creatures on their land, out in their pasture, doing quite a bunch of things. With further ado, Kevin, how you doing, buddy?
I'm not doing too bad this week. Not too bad.
Yeah. Sound a lot better, a lot clearer?
Yep. I was just getting over pneumonia, and last Friday I had
TJ, that was AK.
Hey, Kevin. AK only has a few seconds. Can I get back to you?
You sure
awesome.
Can.
Thank you. AK, how are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm okay. Yeah, pretty good, yeah?
I'm doing real good. Folks, just to bring you up to speed with AK, well, we met AK Raleigh back in 2008 on the Apache Nation up in White River, Arizona. And, well, we filmed Bigfoot Lives 2 up there with them. AK was a police detective for the police department up there at White River. He has had, I don't know how many calls he's been called out to where the creature has come into their town because due to forest fires, drought, many different things of different nature, and they've come into the town, and they started disturbing the people in their homes. AK, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and explain to the people some of the encounters that we've had back on the White River.
Okay, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, hear you fine.
This is me, AK Riley. I used to be a detective for our White Mountain Apache Tribe for the Apache Indian Reservation here in Arizona. Yeah, we had a lot of problems. We had a lot of calls, you know, things about, you know, that this is in the area. There was some sighting and everything, so I think a lot of things that need to be done. So go ahead, whatever you got. Just feel I can say for now.
You know, folks, the creature, one call sticks into my mind that AK took us on, where the creature came up to the house, right, so close to the road, and went up to these folks' window when they were in their bed, and was, well, go ahead and tell them, AK.
That was the one night, that, you know, I guess it was kind of late at night, and then came to, they want to, you know, warm, they want to have everything, you know, close the windows, everything, until that thing was right there in the window looking at them. And we had a police responded. First they called it as a prowler or a, and then push on, one of the officers right there in front of her. And then next day I went over there and I, you know, collected whatever I got, hairs and everything. Yeah, we have, you know, we have seen it. There were witness to it. So that thing is around though, but it's still around though. It still is. After you guys, you know, what happened, that thing, we had more reported, you know. So there's not much I can do for now.
So let me take it back just a little bit here so everybody can kind of catch on to this. They call it in as a prowler, Peeping Tom. And
Peeping Tom.
The folks call the police, and the police are expecting to come out and find somebody probably drunk or high on something, you know, peeking into the window, I'm guessing, as a police officer. And when I get out there, I run into this big, hairy creature. So as you, as the person, the detective, who's getting the case the next day, and they tell you that they saw this big, old, hairy creature, not a prowler, what do you think? What's going through your mind? I mean, how are you going to attack this case and figure out what happened?
At first, it's just like a, you know, like a regular crawl, you know, prowler or Peeping Tom, you know, it's just like a dad, but because there was no crime or anything, just Peeping Tom, that's the only crime that we got, you know, but, you know, it was just, people just ignored it, you know, whatever it is. But the next day, you know, I was the one that, you know, check it out, see if there is, what's going on, you know. And that's when I noticed that, and I collected all the evidence and all the information that I can. You know, I did went through there again. Sure enough, everything is just there, what they said. You know, so I know that it's been there, and we got a lot of calls on that. But to us,
folks,
to them,
he collected hair samples. He collected footprints. They sent him off to labs. It all came back unknown. You know, not in file. So take this.
Yeah.
If our police officers here, you know, today were to get that call, they'd probably just keep it quiet. They wouldn't want to say nothing due to probably getting fired. But you have to understand, the American Indians think of this creature as a protector, I'm guessing, or some kind of a being that belongs to the planet. I mean, it's a matter of fact, these creatures are here, you know. We're silly not to believe that they're there. Is that correct, AK?
Yeah, they're still here. You know, it's been here. I look back, and I got some elderly friends and who have been helping me all the way back to my grandpa. You know, yeah, it's been there for centuries, you know, and been here before they got here, you know, before that, you know. So I know them people, and I trust them people. And I, you know, all they said was just, you know, be out in respect. That's it, you know. Yeah, they're out there. So it is true. Like I said, you know, here it is, you know, people have been reporting it, but there's, like you said, you know, it's just like a, it's just something that, you know, who would believe, you know, but that's the way the UFO was, you know, the flying object, whatever it is.
You know, when we were there during this summer, I guess a meteor had hit up top on the mountains.
Oh, yeah. We had that wildfire, too, remember? And that, you know,
yes.
About 20 miles away from us, and it was approaching one community. And then followed by that, then we have the, you know, the meteorites. So we know that those creatures, not those creatures, I mean the wildlife, the animals, you know, they all come down, you know. And we know that that's one of them that came down too, you know. So we had a good chance of good, you know, finding ones. But, you know, what happened after that, you know, so.
You know, we didn't get a chance to find one. We didn't to see them, but, you know. We would have.
I know we would have. Because people are saying that, you know, they would and they would, you know, because we've been asking for you guys after, you know, you left, you know, and they have stories. You have white witness and seeing, but there's just who's going to, that's how it is. But there's no crime committed just for peeping Tom, you know, that's it, you know, to them, to us, you know. So. But it is real. I want to tell you that, though. There's a lot
of
things that
curious also.
There is, yeah. There's a lot of things that I could tell, you know, but the way I'm going through now, it's just kind of like, you know, I wish, you know, we could all go back there again. Because for me, it's hard for me, you know. Going, no, actually what happened to me, I just barely making my way back up again. You know, but go ahead.
Well, you know, we're gonna get together again, and we're gonna get out there and do a little expedition and try to figure out. You know, try. Hopefully, if we can get the council to approve it again, like they always do, they approve us.
You guys got approval, you know, so there's no problem on that. You know, we just want you guys, you know, come back here again the way you guys are seeing that, you know, we got some people that, you know, that, but no, we got used to you guys, you know, that how you guys been helping and how you explained everything, you know. That's really, you know, good. And I just really want to go back out again, you know. Right now, I got some volunteers, but I can't, you know, I can't for now. But
well, you know, we're going to start our expedition season off the full blast here in January. We got this little end of the season, the winter, starting October 8th. We'll be out until January, until November 15th. Then we're going to be on that little break until January 5th. Then we'll be back on the road for the next 9 months. You know, folks, we, as a company, as an organization, we have, you know, people all across the U.S. giving us sightings, letting us know what's happening. We have family and friends. That's what they're our Bigfoot family and friends. Because, you know, we come out, we meet with you. We'll investigate with you. We'll help you vindicate yourself. That's what we do as Searching for Bigfoot, Bigfoot Project Investments. You know, we know this creature's here. We're going to go out into the world. We're going to, well, hopefully we can go everywhere else. We're going to check the U.S. We're going to be on the road. We're going to have the hotline going, and we'll have the team on the road so that when this happens, when a sighting happens, all you have to do is dial that number, 606-620-6667, and say, hey, I need help. I had a sighting, and we'll get to you, okay? And I want you to know that coming up here, we're going to be in Washington, Montana, where we're opening our museum with a hotel. We're going to be in Idaho, Pennsylvania, Arkansas, Ohio, Texas, Oklahoma, and I'm going to finish it up in Oregon, this last one. So if anybody in any of those areas needs any help, we're there. We've got the financing, we've got the fancy toys, and we've got the gear and the people to help out. So no one's ever said anything bad about us because we come out there, we do a professional job, and we'll help you take care of the business. So, AK, I want to say thank you for coming on. I know you got short on minutes. Our next guest is going to be Kevin out of Pennsylvania, AK Rally. Folks, thank you very much for coming on.
May I say something to the public?
Yes, go ahead.
People, public, you know, yeah. It is out there. I'm going to tell you that honestly, truthfully, everything. You know, I've been a detective for many years, and I did a lot of investigation, not on that one, any kind of crime, but after I got involved in this one, yes, they're here. They're out there. And I know, and these guys are really helpful. And I thank them very much for, you know, for Senior for helping my people and, you know, making them understand. And they know about this thing. And, well, I got nothing much to say. Like I said, Tom Jr., but thank you for, you know, for getting me on the air for a few. But I'm sorry, like, you know, not much, though, but there is a lot that I could, you know, that we could
thank
say.
You, AK. It's my honor. My honor. And trust me, when we're close to Arizona, we're going to give you a call and we're going to stop in and hopefully we can, you know, break a little bread and, you know, chew a little fat a little bit again, okay?
Yeah, behind the round top again, too. You know how it is.
There you go. We go round top. Make wood, see big foot tracks in ground. All right, folks. We got to have to cut out for a little profit break. And AK, once again, thank you. And we'll come on back right after the commercial with Kevin in Pennsylvania.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand, and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Like landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Wow, folks, I'll tell you, every time I talk with AK, it's just a wonderful time. It takes me back. Hey, without further ado, I want to bring Kevin back in. Kevin, thank you for waiting for a second. And go ahead, tell us what's happening out there.
Well, we've had some interesting things happen. Not too long ago, I think it was last week, I've been trying to build a little cabin out in my pasture. I'm not much of a carpenter, but it's fun been trying. My very first night being able to sleep out there on my own, and we had all of our horses out in the pasture, and the night was really nice. It was not a full moon, but it was very, very bright that night. It was almost like being in the full moon. And while I was out there, I could hear the horses racing through the pasture past my cabin toward our barn. I have no idea what they were running from. At first, I thought maybe they're just running for the fun of it. But I heard a couple of weird noises, kind of similar to the ones I mentioned earlier. I'm not sure what they were. We do have our neighbor has a stallion, a couple of stallions out across the way, and we have our neighbor also has wild pigs. But it didn't, to me, sound like anything I've heard before. Again, it's very similar to sounds we've heard in the past. But anyway, the horses swung around and then stopped right behind my cabin, and every single horse I could see very well because the moonlight was very bright that night. And every single horse had stopped. They were not trying to eat or anything. And I noticed every single horse was looking in the exact same direction on the left side of where our pond is, where the horses get their water. I did not see anything come out of the bushes. And I heard the sound once or twice. I don't remember right now. But I did know that for at least a half an hour, the horses stayed in that position, just every one of them looking in the same direction. So,
did they know that you were in the cabin?
I'm not positive. I think some of them did. But
I'm trying to get to the behavior of these animals. I mean, is this indicative to what horses would do? I mean, if they know that you're a protector of them. So I'm trying to think,
right.
Did they run over to the cabin to stay with you because they knew that you'd protect them? Well, I'm trying to think, is this behavior indicative to the horses?
It may be possible. I'm not sure. I know they're right behind the cabin, and like I said, I could see the horses very well. But they were looking beyond the cabin, out past where we were all kind of located, looking in the back of the cabin toward where the woods and past the pond anyway was. And then my daughter and I wanted to go onto the neighbor's property. Again, I really don't know who exactly owns the property. Amish people used to own it, and I heard that they sold it to someone who was a lawyer. Again, I don't know anything about who it is that has it. But my daughter and I decided to go out and see if we could find any type of evidence. And I showed her pictures of some of the footprints that I had seen. And so while I was doing something with someone else, they wanted a girls' day out and went to the mall. And while they were there, bought some plaster of Paris.
Ooh.
And so we decided, you know, if we could find anything that looked decent, we try to get a couple of castings or something of whatever prints we could find. And I know that people do go out that way, so I just don't know if it's some of the tracks are human or critters or what. I really don't know.
Well, but, unless you see it, you don't know exactly. But I'm telling you right now, Kevin, the odds of somebody being barefoot out there in the middle of the night are slim to none in my book.
Right.
Unless somebody's casing your joint, your house, wanting to rob you, and they're barefoot. You know, I just can't see it. But we're gonna figure this out because we're coming out to see you. You know, we've got it set in stone. We're gonna be there, and we're gonna figure this out together.
And I think we sent you some pictures. I believe we did.
I didn't get them. I've been checking and checking.
Okay. We did get some pictures. In fact, maybe when you guys get out here, we can show you them. We did do measurements with a ruler this time, or a tape ruler. Some of the strides between some of the tracks we did see were close to, like, 46, 47 inches from heel to 46. Heel.
So almost 4 feet.
So I know from we measured one heel to the other heel, so it ran between about 46 or 47 inches.
It was 24 is 48, so almost 4 foot. Wow. I don't know too many humans that have a 4 foot stride, do you?
No. And then some of the prints were very close to human size, and other prints I didn't measure. One was close to 15 inches, and they are in the photograph of the tape rule next to the track.
Awesome. So you've got an adult with children or adolescents. Outstanding.
And then we went down to the creek that I told you about. And trying to see, because there's some areas that, you know, you get a little bit of mud around, and there's some really steep hills on each side of where the creek is. And so we were looking down at the bottom of the creek and saw you know, some roughed up areas on the side of one of the hills, and it looked like something did come down, and then we noticed that whatever was coming down one of the hills, it looked like a biped of some sort. Again, I couldn't tell if it was human or not. We did end up getting a cast of one of the prints, but it looked like something jumped from part of the hill and landed 2 feet at the bottom into the dirt. And then I took a picture to show where each print was in front of my feet. And then we did some casting of one of the tracks. When you guys are able to come and visit, you'll be able to see what we did. I didn't want to mess up the track too much or the casting, so I don't know exactly what to do. I was afraid of breaking something. We cleaned off as much of the mud as we could while it was still wet, and the rest we just left it the way it is.
Yeah, best just to leave it to dry in the sun. You don't even need to clean it off when it's wet because you don't want to disturb any of the evidence. So when you take them out of the ground, use a knife underneath the corner, 45-degree angle, you pop them up, and then you just turn them over into the sun, let them dry and dry and dry. And once the dirt gets dry enough, you can brush them off, and you'll see hair samples, and you get the dirt off slowly. Just to give you a little bit of an idea there. Well, this has been an awesome one.
You guys are able to come. I'll let you finish it up so I don't make sure I don't mess anything up. So,
no problem. And you weren't going to mess nothing up. And we're going to be seeing you here in October, you know, about the 20th, 19th, 20th, I think. I think it's maybe the 21st. Yeah, about the 21st we'll be seeing you.
21st or somewhere.
Okay.
And then one other thing, while my daughter and I were out there, I know you want to get going to your next guest. While we were getting ready to go home, we heard some kind of a commotion at the top of the hill. We didn't see anything. And then it sounded like something large either fell or was thrown. It sounded, whatever it was, sounded very heavy. It didn't seem like it was thrown at us, but whatever it was a loud crashing noise. And we did hear some movement at the top, but we couldn't see anything.
I'm sure if you went there during the daytime, you'd find either a big old rock or a log, and they usually do that. They won't throw them at you. They're throwing them near you so that they hear you. You hear them, and you're startled, and you kind of a stay away. You know, you're getting a little too close.
Stay away. I don't want to get clobbered. I don't like the idea of getting clobbered.
Awesome. Devin, once again, I want to thank you for coming on. And, keep on your eyes open, keep listening, and we're going to get out there as soon as we can, and we're going to help you solve what's happening.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Kevin. I'll talk to you during the week. Folks, we're going to go to a commercial break, and we're going to come back with Paul.
TJ.
Yes.
It takes 3 minutes for a commercial. We got a commercial at the very end of the program anyway, so no problem.
Okay. Let's take Paul right now.
Paul, you there?
Yeah.
Hi there. Hey, Paul, how are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, sir.
Awesome. What's been going on in your area? What's happening?
Well, right now I'm kind of laid up. I had some burning water fall on my legs.
Mm-hmm.
It burned me. So I'm, as far as Bigfoot goes, I haven't had any sightings right now. I've kind of been laid up for a while.
Right.
But in the past, I would say I had 4 visual sightings. I had, I don't know how many rock throwing incidents. And then, no tree knocks. The voices I've heard were kind of like baby elephant, but loud.
Baby elephant? So they were very heavy.
You ever heard like a baby elephant sounds? It's kind of high-pitched.
Oh, yeah, I sure have.
Like that, but it doesn't sound like they could make it any louder, but it's loud like that. And then the mother was doing the talking, and she stood there, and I seen a baby she was laying on top of it, probably 2 car lengths away. She got up, went over the fence, and the baby stayed there. And she turned around, looked at us, and just didn't take her eyes off. It was like a stare down, you know. I mean, we were scared. And it was like a stare down, and the baby was laying down there, and then I was hoping that she was going to take, you know how deer leaves its baby, runs, to try to throw the animal off, or the wolf, or the cat, you know, try to throw it off. That's what she did. She hit it, and then she left over the fence, and then she was trying to decide if she should leave it, or call it, or what she was going to do. And my cousin opened the door like a dummy, and then she called it. She raised her hand up and kind of made that noise. I said, but they're loud noises, loud. And the baby got up hysterically, ran to the fence, got stuck under the fence, and then it popped up, and she took off running it. I mean, when it ran in a straight line over the top of the sagebrush. There was no off to the side or going around anything.
Jim Paul, when you say baby, what size of a creature are we talking about?
4 feet. I believe they breed there, and they have their babies there. They're there all the time. My uncle, my grandpa, my great-grandpa, they're Indians. Mm-hmm. And they know that I read stuff about them, Bigfoot wrestlers. I don't know if that's for about who's dominant or what it is. And I've had them touch my tent alone out in the middle of nowhere. And they come up and they touch the top of your tent, you know, and real soft, and you can see your tent moving.
I got to interject here, Paul. You know, I'm hearing so many stories lately. I'm getting calls with people talking about, you know, the creature with adolescents, juveniles, babies. I'm wondering if we're in a birthing season right now, because, you know, and it doesn't happen every year is when we hear about the creatures having their children with them. You know, and I'm my mind's kind of going back to the last time this happened, and it must have been around 6 or 7 years ago. When all the sightings had, you know, children with them. So I'm wondering if these creatures, they go through a certain cycle, or they carry for a longer time, or there's a certain breeding season. Do you have any ideas or thoughts about that?
I think if I knew what the breeding season would be, it would be June, July, or August, and that's the when I've had the most activity. I've seen them in July. I used to go fishing at this spot every day, and at least 3 or 4 times a week, they would throw huge rocks at me. Wow. And then they would stop, and they'd throw one, and then a minute later, they'd throw another one. And we'd have a lot of fish, too. We'd have some big ones. And but when I seen that baby, it was small. I mean, it was the barbed wire was right next to a barbed wire. And it had one extra strand on the barbed wire. So it was closer to 5 feet than 4 feet. And when the mother lifted her tail and it ran screaming, it went under the fence because it couldn't get over. The mother just touched it with her hand and stepped over it. And right. then the baby tried to go under, and while she was trying to go under it, the mother was just looking at us. I mean, she was... If we were to move and make any attempt to go near that baby, he probably would have killed us.
That's what I was just thinking. It was making sure you weren't going to move. Wow.
Right. Not scared of us at all, either. Just sat there. It scared us more than we scared it.
Amazing.
And,
wow.
That's one thing that happened to me when I went deer hunting. We got caught in a blizzard. It snowed about 4 feet. And I was out. We all, with property that we paid to get in, we was all out. I was about 200 yards north of camp.
You got around 20 seconds, Paul.
I went into the tree.
Coming to an end, so come on. Yep.
And sometimes I wonder if they don't live underground, because I saw a big one that was digging under a huge log. It was a blizzard. And then the next morning when we woke up, we found two of those weasels, the ones with black, white ones with the black tails, and it stunk. It smelled. We had to go bury it, and it still stunk. But
I'm a firm believer that they're underground creatures. They live there. They hide, just like you know, when they can't travel and be seen, they're going to be underground. Exactly, Paul. I want to apologize. We're getting to the end of the show here. I'd love to have you back on first next week if you want, so we can finish this up. And Marco, folks, it's that time again. It's the end of the Searching for Bigfoot, Bigfoot Live Radio Show. I'd like to thank you and all our guests that have come on this evening and shared their stories with us. Expedition season starting up. Please do not forget, give us a call, 606-620-6667. And we'll start Paul next week as our first guest, and he'll finish up his story with the creature in the adolescence. So keep footing, keep searching, and Mrs. Calabas, hello wherever you're at.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We're brought them together. Reason for the fact.